In these first two chapters of Galatians, Paul is defending his apostleship and his gospel because those two things had come under attack by false teachers. Last week we looked at Galatians chapter 2 verses 11 through 14, and that describes a confrontation between Paul and Peter at Antioch. Here's what happened. Peter came to visit the church in Antioch and was eating with the Gentile Christians. Some Jewish Christians came to Antioch from Jerusalem, and Peter, as well as some of the other Jewish Christians, including Barnabas, withdrew from fellowshipping with the Gentiles, indicating that they were lacking in something because they did not practice the Jewish law. Paul stood up to and opposed Peter because the gospel he preached and the gospel Peter believed did not require the keeping of the law. The whole point is that Paul's apostleship and Paul's gospel are authentic because Peter, the man who emerged as the leader and spokesman for the original 12 disciples of Jesus, was under the authority of the gospel Paul preached by apostolic authority. It is that incident at Antioch that leads into this passage that we are considering tonight. It is in the context of Paul's confrontation with Peter that the essence of Paul's gospel comes up. So what is the essence of Paul's gospel? What is the essence of the gospel that Paul preached, which is the one true gospel? Well, first of all, the essence of Paul's gospel is stated in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. And Galatians 2:16 says, "Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified." The heart of Paul's gospel is justification by faith in Jesus Christ. Do you see that in verse 16? A person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. That sums it all up right there. But we want to examine that a little more closely by asking four questions. First of all, what is the meaning of justification? Secondly, what is the method of justification? Thirdly, what is the object of justification by faith? And fourthly, why does he put justification by faith in contrast to works of the law? First of all, what is the meaning of justification? The word justify means to declare, pronounce one to be just, righteous, or such as he ought to be. Justification speaks to the condition that we find ourselves in with regard to God. We are by nature fallen, sinful creatures, and we are not right with God. God is righteous and we are unrighteous. Because we are unrighteous, we deserve to be condemned by God. Condemnation is the opposite of justification, and that is the condition that we find ourselves in. We are condemned. Our unrighteousness puts us in the position of deserving condemnation from God. If we are honest with ourselves, we know that is true because the consequence of condemnation is guilt, misery, and alienation from God. Most people realize that something is wrong, and they often go through life for a long time before they figure out what it is. What's wrong is we are alienated from God because of our sin. So what is there to do about it? Are we hopelessly condemned? The answer of the gospel is that we are not hopelessly condemned. The fractured relationship with God can be fixed. What has gone wrong with man can be made right. We can be justified. Justification in the Bible is about being made right with God. Justification means to be declared righteous by God. If you are declared righteous by God, then you are no longer condemned. That is why the gospel is good news. Justification is possible. Secondly, what is the method of justification? The method of justification is faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is the instrument by which justification becomes an experiential reality with an individual. There are three elements of faith. These elements have been described in different ways, but they are knowledge, assent, and trust. Knowledge is intellectually understanding the message of the gospel, that Christ made a substitutionary atoning sacrifice for sinners to make sinners right with God. Assent is becoming aware that what Christ did, He did for me. It is acknowledging that the justification provided by Christ is for me. Trust is deliberately embracing that justification. So justification is by faith. Thirdly, what is the object of justification by faith? The object of justification by faith is Jesus Christ. It is not just faith that justifies a person, but faith in Christ. Faith has to be in the right object for it to be effectual. You can have a lot of faith in an insolvent bank, and it will not make your money secure. But you can have very little faith in a solvent bank, and your money will be very secure. So it is not so much the faith, but the object of the faith that is important. Faith is just the instrument that connects an individual to justification. Jesus Christ is the object that secures justification by faith because He is the eternal Son of God. He became a man so that He could die for men. He was God so that He could satisfy God. He never sinned so that He could make atonement for sinners. In the person of Christ, the offender and the offended were brought together in one person. Christ was a man and represented the offending party, man. Christ was also God and represented the offended party, God. The fact that He was God gave His sacrifice an eternal, infinite value. It is effectual for more than one person. It is effectual for all that He died to save. He rose from the dead to prove that God the Father accepted His sacrifice for sins. He is coming back one day to put the crowning exclamation mark to it all. The fourth question was, why does He put justification by faith in contrast to works of the law in this verse? The answer is that is the way that most people try to get justified. And that was the issue with the false teachers in the Galatian churches. Most people will try to justify themselves by doing good works, thinking if they can simply do enough good works, God will accept them. That is the mentality of the natural man. The false teachers that infiltrated the Galatian churches were teaching that you must keep the law along with faith in Christ. And Paul says a person is not justified by works of the law because by works of the law no one will be justified. The last part of that verse is a quotation from the Old Testament. It comes from Psalm 143, verse 2. Now, why did Paul quote that from the Old Testament? He did it because the Judaizers acknowledged the authority of the Old Testament. He was citing an authority that they recognized against them. So what is the doctrine of justification? It is the good news that sinful men and women can be brought into the acceptance of God, not because of their works, but simply through faith in Christ. That's the doctrine of justification. Justification is a legal term. It does not mean to make someone righteous. To justify is to declare someone not guilty, innocent, righteous. In the Bible, justification refers to God's free and gracious act by which He puts a sinner right with Himself, forgiving him, pardoning him, and accepting him, not on the basis of anything that the sinner does, but solely and only on the basis of the perfect work of Jesus Christ. That's justification. Well, the next thing we want to look at is that the essence of Paul's gospel is challenged by the inconsistency of Peter. As I said, this statement of the essence of the gospel occurs in the context of Paul's confrontation with Peter at Antioch. That's how it comes up. This is a continuation of Paul's defense of his gospel by the confrontation with Peter. Verse 14 says, "But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, 'If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews?'" Whose conduct was not in step with the gospel, the truth of the gospel? Peter's, Barnabas's, and the other Jewish believers who were eating with the Gentiles and then separated themselves from them. So Paul is explaining here how their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, and he therefore states the essence of the gospel in verse 16. So let's see how the essence of Paul's gospel is defended against the inconsistency of Peter. In Galatians 2:15-21, Paul exposes the inconsistency of Peter and Barnabas and the other Jewish Christians who participated in their duplicity in Antioch. The argument is hard to follow, but here are the points that Paul makes. First of all, their act was inconsistent with their belief. Verse 15 and 16 says, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified." What is he saying? He is saying that Jews and Gentiles are justified the same way, by faith in Jesus Christ and not by works of the law. Paul believed that. Peter believed that. Barnabas believed that. The other Jewish believers believed that. If Jews and Gentiles are justified the same way by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, then what about keeping the dietary laws? They don't matter, do they? It is okay for Jews to eat with Gentiles who don't keep the dietary laws. They were acting consistent with their belief when they were eating with Gentiles because it was okay. We are not under the Jewish dietary laws anymore, and they have nothing to do with justification. Jews and Gentiles are justified the same way, by faith, apart from keeping the law. When they separated themselves from eating with the Gentiles, their behavior was inconsistent with their belief, because by that act of separation, they were implying that it was necessary to keep the law and that the Gentiles were sinners not keeping the Jewish dietary laws. Paul is saying that Peter and the others believed in justification by faith in Christ, but they lived like justification was by faith in Christ plus keeping the law, and that is wrong. That was out of step with the gospel. Secondly, their act of separation implies that Christ is a minister of sin, which is unthinkable. Verse 17 and 18 says, "But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor." This is a little bit difficult to follow, but you have to understand the context. And the context is this incident at Antioch of eating with the Gentiles, then separating from the Gentiles. And that is a bigger issue than just the dietary laws, but that is the issue in this particular incident. Let's break this down and see what it means. If in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, who is that? That is Peter and Barnabas and the other Jewish believers. And Paul throws himself in there as well for teaching purposes. We too were found to be sinners. What does that mean? We too were found to be sinners by eating with the Gentiles who do not keep the dietary laws. Is Christ then a servant of sin because He led us to do that? Since He said it was okay to do that? Certainly not. Christ is not a minister of sin. He could never be a minister of sin. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. What was tore down? The Old Testament dietary laws. Who tore them down? Christ in the New Covenant. How do I rebuild them? By going back and living under them as if we are still under them, which is what Peter and Barnabas did. Who is the transgressor? The one who goes back and reinstitutes the laws that were done away with by Christ. Thirdly, their act was inconsistent with the life-changing Christian experience. Verse 19 and 20 says, "For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." To become a Christian is a radical, revolutionary change. It is like dying to an old life and being born again to a new life. When does the death occur? Positionally, it occurred when Christ died. Christians are so identified with Christ that His death on the cross included them. When does the new life, Christ living in me, occur? It begins practically at the point of conversion. One becomes a new creature, governed by a new principle of life, so much so that you can say the life that one now lives as a Christian is Christ living within you. Christ does in fact indwell every believer by way of the Holy Spirit. And the Christian life is a matter of yielding to the Holy Spirit and being controlled and changed by the Holy Spirit. Finally, their act of separation nullifies the grace of God. Verse 21 says, "I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose." Paul did not nullify the grace of God because he did not participate in their duplicity, but Peter and Barnabas and the other Jewish believers did. To withdraw from fellowship with the Gentiles because they weren't keeping the Jewish law implied that they weren't doing all they needed to do. It implied that keeping the law was necessary to justification. Paul follows that line of reasoning to an unimaginable conclusion. He says, if keeping the law could have brought justification, then Christ's substitutionary death for us was unnecessary. Well, Christ did not die for no purpose. His death was absolutely necessary for our justification. In this passage, the essence of the gospel is clearly stated and defended. We have embraced this gospel. Thank God for justification through faith in Christ. Let us appreciate what Christ has done. And let us live in step with the gospel. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the gospel that is stated so clearly and emphatically here in Galatians 2:16 that we sinners can be justified not by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. He is a great Savior. We confess that He is Lord. We have enough of our sin nature left within us that it often is the case that our lives are out of step with the gospel. We ask for forgiveness of that. And we pray for a more consistent walk with Christ. A walk that is in step with the gospel. Amen.